Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Wednesday, June 22nd, 2022, and welcome to Big Screens and TV Streams, live from the Grand Forks Best Source Studios. Today's show is brought to you by the Southtown Poorhouse, where every day is a great day at the Southtown Poorhouse. Stop in for your favorite drinks, and of course, happy hour with half-off apps and taps every day from 4 to 6 p.m., perfect for a nice summer day when you can't forget about their Buck Burgers on Tuesdays and the Awesome Steak Specials on Thursdays at 6 o'clock. Make sure to check out the Southtown Poorhouse events page to find out when your favorite band is playing live. They're off for the summer, but they'll be back when the school season starts up again this fall. So every day is a great day at the Southtown Poorhouse. They are located at 2015 Library Circle next to the Grand Cities Mall. And they're open Tuesdays through Saturday from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. And they're now hiring with great pay, flexible hours, part-time or full-time employee discounts, and free cover on band nights. So for those watching, please interact with us by calling or texting in your questions or comments at 701-213-0863 or contribute comments and questions in the live chat by tuning in live every Wednesday at 2 on gfbestsource.com. I'm Dale. Joining me is Paul. Welcome.
As always.
As always. And as always also, Victor, welcome.
Excited to be here.
Yes. And also, producer Katie's in the house. Hey, there she is. Oh, I don't got the right sound effects queued up.
But Katie cameo.
Katie cameo. But yeah, we got a packed show lined up today. I got a bunch of movies we're going to cover. So yeah, we're
just going to jump. A bunch of crappy movies.
Oh. Yeah, we'll see. Not that one behind me right now, but soon. Not yet. That's to come later on. But Victor, we'll kick it off with you. I know this is one you said you were looking forward to last week here. It's kind of like the big release last week, the new Pixar animated movie, Lightyear, the spinoff, the prequel spinoff to this Toy Story movies.
Yes.
And just for a reference, last week we kind of talked about some of the controversies behind that, so you can reference last week's episode for that. We're just going to be judging the movie on its own merits today. Mm-hmm. So yeah, why don't you kick things off here? It's got not Tim Allen, now replaced by Chris Evans voicing Lightyear. So yeah,
why? Boo.
So how terrible are you?
Yes.
How can you even do that?
But
it doesn't make any sense.
But yeah, this is a prequel, right? It's set before.
Yeah, so this is in 1995, which is kind of weird because you don't get very much of a 90s vibe, but
that was like the year of the first movie, right?
So this was their very first outing for Toy Story because it was their first CGI for Pixar. So this was a big win for them, and they were pushing like years beyond what animation was going to do, what it was even going to be at that time. So the 90s were just truly a year to make especially movies like this, and Pixar truly just punched a hole through the roof, and they made their statement very well known. So I enjoyed this movie quite very as much as I think I did, despite all the controversies with Tim Allen and some of the cast, and of course the infamous kiss heard around the world. It was still a great movie. I think kids are gonna love it, and plus you don't really see anything that bad, you know. I think I do give Pixar, you know, at least a little bit of their, you know, credit, just because they kept their controversial word and they didn't, I don't know, it didn't seem like a big deal. Like, you know, when you spread a rumor and it just becomes like, oh my gosh, did you hear she was doing so-and-so, did you hear that he wore the so-and-so, and it's like, oh.
Kind of like the classic case of that. This person says it to this person, and by the time it gets to the eighth or ninth person, it's like 20 times more worse than it sounded.
It's probably like five seconds of the movie.
Yeah, it's like, that's it.
It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, like we got all hyped up for this. Like, this wasn't even a big deal.
So for those watching the video version, seeing the main picture behind me, we got some new cast members joining the fray here.
Oh, yeah.
So how did they fit the bill here? They fit well in the Toy Story universe there?
I think they did. I feel more or less that they fit him pretty well. Like I think they fit the story very well, and this was a new setting for him. I just felt like some of them, like even Kiki Palmer's character you see in the front passenger seat, like her character, I feel like there was more relationship wise, but the rest in the back, I felt like,
I got her character is called Izzy.
Yes. Like they didn't really, I don't know. They were just like background, and they were funny. It's not that they weren't funny. Like any of the other characters weren't funny. It's just that like Taika Waititi is always funny. His character is always funny. But I just felt like there was more between Izzy and Buzz more. Like they're not a relationship, like, you know, romantic, but more because there was history between, you know, her and her grandmother, you know, and so Buzz and her had a relationship, you know, years beyond, and so she kind of fit the fray a little bit more. So I like that relationship.
I just saw the previews for this, and despite all the controversy with the kiss or whatever, I just looked at it as a hard pass. It just looked like a dumb movie to me. I'm like, what?
Didn't look like that. Were you a fan of the previous Toy Story movies at all? Or
yeah, but this has nothing to do with Toy Story.
Yeah, it's more Buzz's question. Story.
What's up?
Is that the guy? Okay, right there.
Okay,
is that the guy from Up? That's what it looks like.
No, that's not.
It looks just like him. Come on, the balloon guy.
Just be like, who's that guy? Oh, yeah. Just be like him being like.
So is this supposed to be like a prequel to them like making the toy? Like this is how they came up with the Buzz Lightyear toy because of this Buzz Lightyear thing?
Yeah, movie? It like really dives in the background of like Buzz's character, right?
It's supposed to, but it's more... So the theory goes of where this was supposed to be a commercial to where like, oh, Andy sees this and then it's like, oh, I want that. I want that Buzz Lightyear action figure. But I feel like they could have just done a commercial if they wanted to do that, like they did in the movie. This isn't a commercial. This is Buzz Lightyear's story. I felt like this was more of like a promotional for a toy, but it's like this is his story. This is not a toy. Like he is a toy. He acknowledges he's a toy, but he's...
He's still a toy in the movie?
Yeah, he's still a toy in the movie. But like
this just gets worse and worse.
I feel like they didn't even acknowledge that. Like they acknowledge a lot of the iconic lines in there, but they didn't like... He didn't actually like acknowledge that he was a toy. Like even when him and Woody in the first one, he's like, "You are a toy. You are a little. Oh, you're an action figure. You are a child's plaything."
Did he go into Spanish mode?
No, and that was the funny part. I thought he was gonna do that, but I'm like, I probably think they're gonna like veer towards away from that just because it's Buzz's story and they wanted to talk more about Buzz, but they really kind of didn't. They focused more on the kiss thing than anything else. So
it looks like it sucks.
So but overall for you though, you think compared to like, does it stand up to the pedigree of like the original Toy Story movies, or does it seems like a step back? It kind of sounds like, but still not terrible.
Because I know a lot of people are gonna probably lambast me for this, but I don't think there's anything. There's no such thing as a bad movie. I mean, yes, there are bad movies out there, but there are far worse movies out there than this one. And I like movies that at least, like, if you're going to talk about a character, because I know me and you had talked about this before, where it's like, when you do a standalone movie, like whether it's Black Widow, whether it's like Captain America, you would think that they're going to actually talk about this person and his journey or her journey, like, before she met all these people. And I feel like whether it's Captain America Civil War or it's, you know, the Avengers, I felt like the Avengers like stole that kind of show from her. Like it was more about them than it was about her. Just like this kiss was more about the kiss than about Buzz Lightyear. Even though we saw Buzz Lightyear in there, they were so focused on this one little thing that it's like,
Sounds like it's kind of taken away from it a little bit.
Yeah, like it's my movie. I don't know why we're talking about this. Like, can we get back to me? You know? But still, I think kids are going to love it just because of the, you know, just the visuals and everything. So, I mean, don't knock it. I mean, it's not bad, you know, but it's not that bad. So
I'm seeing so far on Rotten Tomatoes aggregates there, it sounds like, you know, usually the Pixar stuff aggregates a bit higher, but it sounds like it's still getting all right. Critics, 77% aggregate, audience, 86%. Which one would you say you lean more towards?
I'd say I'd lean more towards, I mean...
I have a feeling if I watch this, it's going to be in like the 40s.
The 40s,
I go back to 70s.
I mean, that's honestly still a recommended score range.
It's a kid's movie, and I know a lot of adults are like, kids' movies. Like, I'm going to have to sit through. They're going to enjoy it. I may not enjoy it, but it's a kids' movie, man, you know? So,
right. Now, usually I don't go on my way to see too many animated movies, but usually the Toy Story ones I usually try and go on my way to see. So it's almost, but not quite up to the caliber, you'd say?
They have their moments, and then they don't have their moments. It's like, you're there, but then you're not really there. And that's not a bad thing. Like, again, this was a legacy.
Would you watch it a second time?
I would. Yeah, I would absolutely. Just for the visuals and just because, you know, they're paying tribute to someone that, you know, we watched for the first time. So, I mean, even if Tim Allen's not in there and his iconic voice isn't there, at least, you know, Chris Evans, he's trying, and I appreciate that. So, yeah, I would see this as definitely see it second time. So,
all right. Well, we'll jump right ahead here to our next movie we're going to cover here. It was a big Netflix original movie that hit this last week, and I saw it was like the number one most watched movie for the day I watched it a few days ago. Spider-Head, and this is actually from the same team from just a few weeks ago that did Top Gun Maverick there with Joseph Kosinski directing again.
They really threw you for a loop on that one.
Yes, they did.
This movie sucked.
And he brought on Miles Teller as one of the main leading actors, along with Chris Hemsworth here and Mr. Thor himself.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, and he worked, Kosinski worked with Teller before with Only the Brave and, of course, Top Gun Maverick. So I was thinking, you know, all right, these guys got to have a good, solid, chemistry going on here. And the setup for this, it's the near future. Convicts are offered the chance to volunteer as medical subjects to shorten their sentence. And one such subject is for a new drug capable of generating feelings or love and hate and all that, begins questioning the reality of their emotions.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the setup for this. And yeah, what did you see this too then, Victor?
I love this movie. Yep. Yeah, I loved it, man.
I'm thinking, yeah, Paul is kind of like, no, and Victor loves it. I'm kind of in the middle. We've got all the whole spectrum covered here. So
I think you give movies way too much credit than they're due. I got halfway into this and I had to turn it off.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't even finish it. I was just like, this is so boring and stupid.
Yep. They kind of hook you in right away where they kind of have, Miles Teller's character and then Tess Hobrick's character. They kind of show, and Chris Hemsworth is like one of the scientists manipulating. He has a little cell phone saying, all right, we're going to crank up the dial on the love drug. And he just has the subjects go at it. And then other motions where they just turn into big old chatterboxes and ones that just instills fear into them, all that. What about that worked for you on that angle?
I did, just because I love the aspect of it messes with your mind. Like they want you to be like, if you're super depressed, like, and you need something to like boost your day up, like that is really what it is all about. Like they try to like make you like, oh, this is super amazing. Like I never thought of it that way. It like makes your mind more like seeing things that you never thought were beautiful.
It's called
like
mushrooms and ecstasy,
right? Go do that at a party if you want to do that. If you want to get that feeling, go to a party like any normal teenager does. But no, I like this movie just because it's more about like existential questions. And if you ever seen the show Wilford, he's like, Ryan, that's the whole point of it, man. Nobody ever thinks about existential questions. Nobody ever asks themselves about what they really want. I mean, existential questions are for Russian novels and for teenagers who are on acid, you know. Nobody really thinks about this crap, you know. Everyone does mushrooms, but nobody's like, oh, we do, you want to do mushrooms in the back, man? Or hey, you want to smoke some pot outside the schoolyard or something? Yeah. No, everyone's like, maybe not. But this is a movie where it's like, it gives you the freedom to like say, man, I looked at this and it's like boring, but when it cranks up the drug, man, and you see it like through the drug's eyes a little bit, it's like, dude, that's freaking amazing.
Yeah,
man.
So that would be really cool, like the idea of that, except that it was just delivered in a crap movie.
I hate this movie. God dang it, you.
The movie was so boring.
I mean, some of the scenes worked for me, some of them didn't. I guess for me, the thing that kind of drew me back a little, because at first, those first couple of scenes were, I was pretty reeled in there. I was like, okay, let's see where they go with this and where they're going, the background, the drugs and all that. You see flashbacks to Miles Teller character and how he got incarcerated, where the drug driving, involuntary manslaughter and all that. So, and they kind of expound on that later on, where you really learn what happened in his incident that got him into jail there. And then you kind of learn more and more about what, you know, Chris Hemsworth and the scientists and their testing and what's going on and the way things get revealed with their bingo card.
Yeah, exactly. It's just so messed up, but I can understand why he was doing it. Not so much in an evil way, but he's like, think about it. Why don't you live in a world where, you know, there are no more drunk drivers, there are no more dumb people who do stupid things, like, they can actually live in harmony. And though his logic is pretty messed up, it's like you kind of agree with him a little bit. Yeah, like what if there were no stupid people on the road, no more drunk drivers, no more people getting hurt, no more people, like everyone being happy. Like there's nothing wrong with being happy. I mean, everyone thinks that's weird. Like when you're in a good mood and you're skipping down the street and thinking like, yeah, I won one. This is like I won one just once. This is great. I'm in a good mood. People think that's freaking weird. Like, oh, I love my dog. That's freaking weird. Oh, I love my children so much. That's freaking weird. Oh, I have a great relationship with my mom or my dad. That's freaking weird. What is weird about that? You know? There's nothing weird about that.
I mean, I thought some of the performances in here were really good, but I just thought the material just could have been a little bit better. But
well,
like,
I see the Rotten Tomatoes is right on par with me.
Yeah.
Oh, Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. I was kind of like in the middle of the low range there, but...
No, it was very low.
Yeah.
This is if you were going to school, this would be a failing grade.
Yeah.
I give you a D minus.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing with Rotten Tomatoes
is below
D.
Yeah.
I give you an F, but only I'd have to see you in summer school again, which I don't want to do.
This is an F for fail. This movie was a big fail.
Well, yeah, the critic aggregate is 44% of reviewers gave it a positive review, which I kind of interpret a little bit differently than, you know, your the actual grade of the movie as a whole. But
they didn't see it then.
So the way I see it is almost half of the reviewers like it or have a positive. So not like an actual 44% grade on a paper. That's the thing that could be easily misleading about the Rotten Tomatoes scores. So but the audience aggregate is a little bit lower. 35% of the audience
fail.
So
I give you a big F. Fail.
I mean, the things for me that kind of drew me out a little bit is it's you know, usually if a predictable movie is, it's usually not a problem for me as long as the journey there is good. And this is very, very predictable. You can kind of see where things are going, where, you know, Miles Teller is a cooperative subject here going along with all the tests and eventually resentment builds and builds. They lead to an uprising of sorts at the end.
No, this is 2 hours of your life that you'll never get back. So just don't waste your time.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not like the god-awful worst movie ever. No. What's that, Katie?
I said gotcha. For like a million time.
Yeah, yes, but no, it's all right.
No, it's not. It sucked. Pass.
No.
Don't watch it. Don't waste your time.
I don't know about that.
I think
that.
People should watch it. Right. It's really good just because I know I give them enough credit, but just like even critics, man, like they can be so harsh with movies, and I know that's the nature of the beast a lot.
No, vacuum your floor, dust your shelves, do something productive. Do not watch this movie.
Yeah, be like, nah.
But the other thing worth
pointing out, I should do a Wakanda. Just like Wakanda forever.
What?
I was pointing up the film. X.
Oh,
it's a big fat X.
Oh, there we go. Fail sign. But no, the other thing I want to point out is it seems a lot with a lot of the Netflix original movies. They all kind of, not all of them, but a good chunk of them have like the same kind of general aesthetic to them. Do you ever notice that much? Kind of like the drab, dreary background sets. Kind of. I don't know if that's intentional by design or if Netflix has this edict they force for all their production sets. Or do you notice that a lot?
I do. And I think it's just because they want to still stay on top. And even though other streaming services are doing way better than they are, I think it's just the quantity doesn't mix with the quality. And I feel like you're so there. I can see you're there, but it's like you're not there. Because even they did that with Martin Scorsese's movie, The Irishman. Like, they gave him full creative control because you don't say no to Martin Scorsese.
No. Oh, yeah. And that movie stands up way more than the average Netflix.
Absolutely. And so they're like, well, what's the story over there? Like, you know, it's like, we'll give you all the things you need. We don't need to, like, stress it enough. Like, it's already a hard budget to, like, get through. So we're just going to give you, we already know what you want to do. So we're going to give you this power. And they did. They gave him the power. And so that's what I think they want to do with directors. Like, they don't want to be like those studios that hover over them. They don't want to be like, oh, you know, you shouldn't do that. Oh, you should actually, you know, make a wide shot with that one just so you don't like fail on that one. So I feel like they do give them a freedom. And I appreciate that just with filmmakers, even like their movies that go out to theaters, like they will actually applaud those guys that want to say, I don't want to just see it at home. I want to see it in the theater so people can pay for it and enjoy themselves. No more of this sitting at home and thinking, oh, this is boring. This is I want to actually see it in theaters. Like, this is a movie you will pay for.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. So
absolutely. So there you go. It sounds like a split decision. All ends of the spectrum here: low, medium, high. But one thing that is not a split decision that we can all agree on is very awesome are our friends at O for Heaven's Cakes, where there's nothing better than treating yourself to some good homemade baked goods, and that's where O for Heaven's Cakes come in. They got the best cupcakes for special occasions or just a treat. They make incredible specialty items by order, or just walk in to find out more. While you're there, enjoy their homemade lunch and soup with keto, gluten-free, vegan, diabetic options. And if you're a business owner and want to treat your employees, check out their monthly employee discounts. O for Heaven's Cakes are on the north backside of the Grand Cities Mall, open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 4 and Saturdays from 9 to noon. You can call them up at 701-757-CAKE. That's 701-757-2253 or email them at oforheavenscakes@yahoo.com. Be a beautiful cupcake in a world full of muffins. That's O for Heaven's Cakes in the Grand Cities Mall. And yeah, I think I always gotta get something from there every week. I think last week I think Victory said you got it too. Like, you know, it may sound lame, you think on paper, but bran muffins.
Yeah, their bran muffins are so good.
Yeah,
you know how like you need fiber every day. It's kind of like that. Oh, it's very good and it's very delicious too. Like you can have it with butter, you can have it with cinnamon, you can have it with jam. It's so good.
So it's Busch Light.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a beer, but in dry form.
Yes.
Mike's?
Right? Yes, absolutely. If you're a Mike's person, then that's your kind of muffin there.
Yeah.
In dry form.
Exactly. Yes. So, Victor, I got one of your news items. You had a few interesting news items here that we're kind of sprinkling them throughout the show here. This first one I got here is a movie. I guess speaking of Netflix original movies, this is the first of all the... It seems like Netflix is doing, what, 5 original movies a week?
Yeah.
They've probably got at least a few hundred out by now. This is the first Netflix original movie that's getting the NC-17 rating.
Yeah.
So, why don't you clue us in about it? It's called Blonde.
Yeah, it's called Blonde, and it stars... I hope I'm not butchering this name. Her name is... Ana de Armas. Hopefully, I'm not butchering that name. But Ana de Armas. She
Ana de Armas. Ana de Armas.
Right. It just sounds like a tune. Ana de Armas. It's just like her name is so great. Like, and she when she got started in the industry, like you see her as this like very French, beautiful actress. But once she got going, like with Keanu Reeves and Knock Knock, like oh my god, like they probably saw her and thought, yeah, we want her. And then she then moved up to Rian Johnson's movie, which was Knives Out, which was so good. And then here comes this, which was the NC-17 rated movie Blonde. So Blonde is featuring a bunch of great stars, and it talks about, of course, the bombshell herself, Miss Marilyn Monroe. And for being such a beautiful woman and having like such a great smile and just being happy all the time, she's pretty sad. Like her life was really like cut short, really like James Dean kind of.
I've never understood the NC-17 rating because R is over 18, correct?
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
So where does NC-17 come in?
So the main difference is like with R, you could bring a minor with you to the movie.
Yeah.
But NC-17, yeah, like no one, even if you got a guardian there. Yeah. It replaced the X rating in the late 80s,
so
early 90s.
Yeah. No children 17?
Yep. Yeah, basically like they if you make a movie and you pass for an R, you're very lucky because if you go in the NC-17 rated or the X rated, that means there's no turning back. You could do whatever you wanted to. If you want bloody violence, you're going to get bloody violence. If you want...
Is that this NC? Is that like no children?
No children ever. No. Because trust me, they will be scarred if you bring them there.
And very few movies go all out with that rating and get released. They're pretty much like... small budget indie art house movies, because pretty much most major movie chains they have a policy where they don't carry the NC-17 rated movies.
And if you are, you're really lucky to carry that just that title right there.
This one, Netflix is their first one, so I imagine they must got a lot of clout behind the director or for their vision to see it, or you know, mostly artistic merits. I dug a little into it. The director Andrew Dominik, I saw he did Killing Them Softly. I was a big fan of that movie.
I love that movie.
Is this one out already, or
it's coming out very soon?
September 23rd.
Yep, it's coming out pretty soon. So they're just
that soon? That's like 3 months away.
Well, just counting the days down. You got to count the days down.
Soonish.
You can't just be like, I want it now. No, you got to count the days down.
Soonish.
Soonish. Yes, soonish. But, it's coming though. It's coming. Hold your horses.
But yeah, the director Andrew Dominik had some interesting quotes about it. He said, "There's something in it to offend everyone," went on to say, "If the audience doesn't like it, that's their effing problem."
Yes.
Obviously, he did not. I'm censoring myself, but and he also said it's not running for public office, and so Yeah. And I guess if you go to the MPAA, the ratings board, they actually have descriptors for all the movies they rate for the reasons why the movies get the ratings they did on their website for Blonde. The descriptors they put for it are some sexual content. And he said, the director just went on to say, there's a sexual assault scene. That's probably the main reason it got the NC-17 rating. So.
Yeah, there's, I know because Marilyn Monroe, she's a model. She was about that life. So I'm sure you're going to see some things like you didn't want to see, but you're going to see. Even like now, I feel like it wasn't as worse as if you've seen the movie Bombshell, like that movie, if you watch that movie, like even watching it with your wife, like it's so uncomfortable. Like it's super uncomfortable, dude, just because it's like you're a dude and then you see these other guys like getting that their way with women in Fox News. It's like, wow, that's really messed up, dude. What are you doing there? But you can't do anything about it. And that's the worst thing. Like, it's there and you're sitting in your chair. So you're like, I wish I could stop that. I wish you could punch him in the face and stop it. But again, it already happened and I can't do anything. You know, it sucks. I really wish. But again, you have to see it.
keep your eyes out on that. Yeah, September 23rd is when Blonde is releasing. I guess we'll move things along here to the next movie here we're covering. And this is Victory. I remember you told me you had this lined up to watch here a couple days ago. And so I was like, all right, I was kind of on my radar to see it too while it was still in theaters. It's called Watcher.
Yes.
And it's directed by Chloe Okuno. And it's her first major motion picture she directed. And it's about a young American woman moves with her husband to Bucharest and begins to suspect that a stranger who watches her from the apartment building across the street may be a local serial killer decapitating women. And so, Maka Monroe
is... Okey-dokey.
So,
alrighty then.
Yeah, this is definitely a suspense thriller, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I love the fact that they were paying tribute to a lot of movies in here, especially, of course, Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window.
Yep, I was going to say that's the obvious comparison there. Yep. And, so how do you think they capture that? They're setting it up, they're moving into Romania there and just kind of setting it up. Julia, she's mostly at home because she's in between jobs. Yeah. And like, so she's just kind of people watching out the window and she knows she's being watched by this character throughout the movie. Like she sees him staring directly at her like nonstop throughout the movie. How do you like how they set that all up?
I loved it. The fact that it was just her in the frame, like usually they tell you like when it's kind of like a different feeling acting and directing because 200 people are waiting for you to do your thing. So like when all eyes are on you and it's just her in there, you can feel like she's got that emotion. Like there's something wrong, even when you're all alone and you have nobody else there, like what happens when you're all alone? As they say, dancing like nobody's watching, but somebody is watching, that kind of feeling. So I feel that, she just like putting her hand up and saying like this, just waving, and her waiting for the guy to do that too. And you just slowly see a shadow do this. And it's just like creepy all, but it's just like, I think she likes that feeling though. And I feel like she likes someone, even though it's creepy to think, but it's like, what would happen if you couldn't, do anything about it? You just wave back and it's just normal wave back, or hey, or make a face, kind of do that. It's really just that dynamic of push and pull, like you don't like being watched, but you also like that feeling too. So
now there's one thing I noticed this movie did a lot. Usually I hate it when this happens in TV shows, and when they do it in movies, it could be hit or miss for me. But for this one, I thought that they did a great job doing it, and that's the specialty of misdirection. A lot of red herrings in this one, just to kind of lead you going, like, are they going in this direction? And for this, this serial killer watching across the street, they don't really name him. He's just credited as Watcher, played by Bern Gorman.
Yes.
They don't really even say, they kind of have this reported in the news that there's a serial killer on the loose. Yep. And like they kind of walk by a crime scene earlier on. So Julia, she thinks that this guy watching across the street is naturally the serial killer. Mm-hmm. And the way things kind of build from there and go from there is she kind of bumps into this guy at the supermarket. Mm-hmm. And then in the movie theater, she runs into him and there's a really creepy scene in the movie theater. How do you like how they build that up, like where Julia thinks this guy is on him?
I love that, just because like when you see the dude in the theater, like she turns like and looks at everybody who's in the theater, you know, and just kind of people watching, you know, just like, I love that they do the a movie within a movie kind of concept. And that was really what is exciting. And then when she saw the guy in front of her, she like turned quickly around. And then once he like just sat one row like behind her, and then he like, you know, went that far, like I think he was going to whisper something in her ear, and she kind of felt uneasy, and then she got up and he didn't even look back. I love how he just like did the silent, like just sitting there and doing nothing. Like he's like, you know, I was watching you. How very clever. You know, you're a clever one that you are, you know.
And that's like breaking the cardinal rule of theater 101. If you go into a movie that's like very sparsely packed, you don't sit directly next to or behind or in front of the person there.
Right.
It's like, come on, guy.
But that's the funny part is just like when you know someone is like literally like breathing next to you, even though they're not getting super close, but they're like, they're very, because he was fascinated by this girl and he didn't even know her. But I think that's the thing that I love about serial killers is that they're not like just, they're obsessed, but they're like, not like, I'm not going to approach you. I'm just going to watch you. Even if it's creepy, just like, I'm just going to watch you. Like just a prey watching it's, you know, just going to go away. Just like.
I don't know what's creepier, the sound of this movie or what you just said.
That's the point of the movie. It's supposed to be creepy.
But you know, the other cool thing I thought this
got
movie
got Hannibal
did.
Lecter sitting next to me over here.
I ate her liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Another thing I thought this movie did really well is the kind of like the minimalistic yet impactful, this like little things that like that going out of its way for the cinematography, like when she kind of goes into his apartment across the hall to kind of set up how creepy and just creepy and weird this person watching her is that, like, you know, she has a nice pristine apartment building, but when he goes to his place, goes to the hallway leading up to his apartment unit is like just old chipped paint, buildings falling apart almost, just little things like that. And the soundtrack, the sound effects, they're very minimal throughout it.
Yeah.
So like all of a sudden, you know, she's at home alone, all of a sudden loud banging on the door and it just gets you to jump a little bit.
Yeah.
As my headset flies off here and other like little things like that, when the sound effects really kick in, they really make that big impact.
Yes. Like even though like the sounds itself, like, you would think that even like when she heard like banging on the other side of her neighbor's like wall, and then she went over to go see what was that. Like she knocked on the door frequently, and everyone's just talking in Romanian, and she didn't understand them. And then once they opened the door, they realized like that's nothing. It's the cat. It's a cat. Yep. You know, it's not a big deal. But I love where again it's that. You see something, it's kind of like I call it a Steven Spielberg moment, because it's like, you know, in his movies, you know, again, kids, who is going to believe a kid? It's the same thing. Like, where, like, I wish people would stop thinking that I'm crazy, like I'm just a fish out of water in this land, but I want someone to believe me. And you would think her husband would do that, but it's like, oh, well, he thinks I'm crazy too, so what can I do? I'm gonna get him on my own if I have to, you know.
So just kind of wind down talking about this movie here, just kind of like the big last couple of scenes here, just kind of keep it a little broad here, but like I thought they kind of had a couple really big moments here where like this guy watching he only has like a couple lines since towards the end of the movie here, and the way that all paid off, there's a big subway scene. I thought that was very, very profound, very, very well done, and it kind of leads to a final big ultimate confrontation between the two characters, and the way it kind of wraps up, and it wraps up just very, very succinctly. I thought the whole ending, the way everything built to those last couple of scenes, was just great closing. Were you on the same page? Or
same? Yeah. I was so ready. Like I thought, you know, oh, this was going to be put to bed, and then the next thing you know, he puts a bag over it, and you didn't see it. But then it's just like, hey, if you just make one noise, I'm going to kill you. And you know, and it's like at the end of it, you would think that her husband, he thought he had left, and he's like, what the hell? And so of course he calls, and then he hears the phone next door, and then he goes over there. The guys, you know, zipping up his coat, getting ready to go. And then all you hear is just like, bang!
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Speaking of loud, like, sound effects, yeah.
And just like, he's just falling in his, like, just like, and then again, you hear a loud bang! And then, of course, he just falls to the ground, and all he has is his eyes open, and then you see her just bloody and just holding the gun in her hand. And then, of course, he looks to, I love how the shot, like, turns the corner. And, of course, she's looking at him and is like, do you believe me now? Yeah. You know? Yeah. Do you believe me now?
But, yeah, great movie. I'm kind of with the aggregates here. Rotten Tomatoes critic aggregate, 87%. Audience, 67%. I'm more with the critics there. I'm very, very high on this movie. I think this will definitely be on a top 10 contender list for me for our end of the year picks here.
Yes, it's very – go see it. And if you can't see it, of course, it's international, you know, just because it's an independent movie. So if you are in any city – you know, yeah, I'm sure it's out there, so go see it. And sorry if I scared any of the viewers, you know, with my with my creepy obsession depictions of Hannibal Lecter-ness of this movie. I love it. So, you know, I love diving into, as you can tell, I love diving into serial killers, you know, just because there's something about them that's very interesting.
You're a fan of the murder mystery genre.
Yes, I am.
All right. Paul's going to cover a couple movies. We kind of did a couple takes on earlier episodes. I covered Northman and Morbius when they hit. Paul, you said you just saw them this past week. So curious to see your takes on both of these movies here. I know.
Yeah. So Morbius, I heard that it just, you know, completely sucked balls when it came out. Like, it just, like, just failed in the office. It was, like, the worst Marvel movie to hit the theaters. And... was it? Is it Jared Leto or Leto?
Yep. Yes, it's Leto.
Leto, yeah. And so, like, he's just had this, like, curse of trying to play superheroes in movies, and every single one he's just completely failed at. But I was actually, I was surprised. I didn't think it was a bad movie.
I thought it was all right.
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah, it was really good.
I thought he did a really good job at playing Morbius. I wouldn't say that it was, like, the best movie ever. I didn't really like the villain in it so much. But... you know, the special effects were there. I don't know. I mean, the story behind it, it was, you know, your basic comic book movie-ish thing. I know Morbius from Spider-Man,
yes,
basically.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go too much into it, but I wouldn't say it was a terrible movie. I wouldn't say it was a great movie, but it was entertaining enough, and I thought the special effects were pretty good. And, you know, I...
because Morbius, he's like one of the main Spider-Man villains, right?
Yeah, he's in the Sinister Six.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I could see this being, like, this movie wasn't great, but I could see how he could be incorporated into other great Spider-Man movies with, like, Venom and combining all these characters. So even though it was, like, an intro movie to his character, I think that it could be him being a lot greater.
Yeah.
In, like, a new Spider-Man movie or something along those lines, and having that character in there. As far as the movie itself, just kind of, you know, bringing the Morbius character to life, wasn't bad. Worth watching. I mean, I wouldn't go out of my way to watch it by any means, but, you know, if you got nothing else to do, then check it out. And, you know, it's not that long.
Would you watch it again? You know, would you watch it again?
Yeah, I mean, it would be one of those ones that I would, you know, throw on while I'm doing laundry or something and be like, you know, you catch the cool special effects scenes, the little in-between scenes that, you know, now that you've already watched it, you don't really need to hear that dialogue again. You can just kind of ignore it and vacuum your rug or whatever it is, you know. But, you know, I think that, you know, like I said, in, say, a new Spider-Man movie, I think that Jared Leto would be a really cool character to introduce into one of those big blockbuster movies.
Yeah, well, yeah, Jared Leto especially. I mean, sometimes he could just take, like, a so-so movie and just his performance can help elevate it a little bit. I know he definitely did that. He got recognition with that last year, taking, like, him and Denzel did a so-so movie, Little Things, last year. And their performances, you know, really helped... elevated that just a so-so movie into that, you know. Hey, you know, check it out.
Yeah, well, it's really good.
And I've seen some of the comic books with Morbius, and I think that they did a really good job of, like, how Morbius actually is in the comics.
Yeah.
I mean, the way he looked, the way he moves, and, you know, him and his powers and everything. It was, I thought they did a really good job of, like, recreating that comic book character, and I think Jared Leto did a fantastic job of portraying Morbius.
Absolutely. Very. He got prepared for it, and you could tell, like, the work shows, like, in this movie.
So. Yeah, I mean, he was a terrible Joker.
I was waiting for that to come up.
I thought he did a good, really good job as Morbius.
So how about Northman, then?
It sucked!
I was waiting for that. Oh, horrible! Oh.
God,
Paul, Paul with the big fail noise. It is. I remember I was texting you a little bit about it the other day, and yeah, it's a slow burn. It's like, well, I think it's like what, it's 2.5-ish hours.
Yeah,
around
and
there?
The thing is, like, I just kept waiting for it to get better and better, and I mean, it was like, it was kind of entertaining, and then really not, and then a little entertaining, and then really not, and then I paused it and I was like, holy crap, there's another hour left of this?
How much do we have to endure?
Yeah. So
if you have the patience for it, I really got into it, but it was like probably in the back half by the time the like it, you gotta the movie makes you work to enjoy it.
Oh yeah.
Which isn't a good thing.
Yeah, it was let's say this. I would never watch it a second time.
No, yeah, same. I mean, I really like the movie, but there's some movies I could tell, even though I really like dug them, enjoyed them, that's like, I'm never seeing this again.
Even the fight scenes, I mean, the guy was going in slow motion, but not like slow motion like 300, like slow motion like it was just really bad, like, I'm hitting people because I'm strong and big and I'm so slow, and it was just so dumb.
I think it's just because, again, revenge is such a long period, like, play, that's what they were trying to do. Like, he had to do that. Like, and I know it's boring and I know it's tedious, but it's like, if in order to get where you want to go, you have to play the long game. And that's what they did in this movie. And I like that was, you know, even like the scene where his mother is just like dead and lay on the floor. And you see this like scene where the enemy just comes in and they both look at each other and you think they're going to start a fight. He's like, I'll meet you on the mountain, man. And then of course he just grabs his son's dead body. He grabs his mother and then just says, I'll meet you there. They just like, just doesn't have to say anything, just drags their bodies out of the room, and it's just like, oh, okay. Now,
yeah, for a guy that wanted revenge so bad, and he just sat there and was like, hey, I got a sword, I can kill you right now. I guess I'll wait.
I think they wanted it to be epic. They just wanted it to be like,
it was
yeah.
epically slow and boring.
I just want Paul to just be like, yes, oh, it's a horrible movie. Oh, it's so good. Like, under his breath, just like, yeah, it was so good. No.
Big hard pass for me. Don't waste your time with the Northmen.
If you have the time, I would recommend it. But like I said, it makes you work to enjoy it.
You just,
hours of your life you'll never get back.
I just love Paul. He reminds me of Will Ferrell from The Blades of Glory when they're on the escalator and he's like, "What are you supposed to be? I'm supposed to be JFK." It's gonna work. He's like, yeah, it is. No, it's not. No, it's not.
Oh man,
the acting was terrible. The movie sucked. Just pass. Hard pass.
Passes all around.
I can't believe I suffered through the entire thing.
Katie's like, it's just God. He's never gonna make it. This is never gonna like pass with him. It's okay.
Well, there is a pair of Netflix specials that hit that I would not recommend passing on. I'd definitely recommend them. These just both kind of hit over the last couple weeks. Norm MacDonald, Nothing Special, and Dirty Daddy, the Bob Saget tribute. Yes. And these both came out in the last week or so here. And Netflix did this cool, like, just like kind of a nice way to say farewell to both of these comic stand-up legends here. Yes. So I'll talk about the Norm MacDonald one here first. And I guess Norm MacDonald, he didn't tell anyone he had cancer, and he just kind of, when his news broke, passed away, he caught everyone off guard. He didn't even tell any of his fellow longtime associates about it, like all his fellow stand-up friends about it. And it's like about an hour and a half long, and it's like, I guess, about the day before he had a big surgery for his cancer in 2020, he recorded like about a 40 to 45 minute stand-up bit his home. And they set it up in the movie in the quotes, like, in case things went south, he wanted to have one last thing to release to remember him by.
Yeah.
And so it was like a 45-minute stand-up bit. And, you know, if you've seen Norm doing a stand-up, covers the spectrum, he doesn't mind testing the waters on offending anyone. So kind of had some nice bits in there about taxi drivers, phone calls, awesome ending, shout out to his mom. And there's did you see this, Victor?
Yes, I did, and it was just so beautiful. Like, just what it was hard to watch it, just because it's like, you know, I've seen him with Adam Sandler and just like just all his friends, you know, and like that's what I love about, like, he went out like Chadwick Boseman went out. He went out like a true artist. He's like, wasn't afraid of offending anyone, wasn't afraid of just giving a crap. He just did what he did, and I think that was enough.
Yeah, and it was a very raw setup at home. It wasn't like he was at a theater stage doing stand-up. You could tell he just did this at this own little, like, personal home recording booth. He even takes a phone call in the middle of his bit. He's like, yeah, I'm doing a special. Call me back later. Here's dog barking in the background, because they say in the opening bits, he did it all in one take. So if he had background noise going on and all that, we're still rolling.
Yep. Yeah, dear.
So, what did you think of the stand-up there then?
I really liked it, just because it was so him, you know, like him just being funny. Like, and I bet like SNL is just kicking themselves at the fact that like they never put him on as like a correspondent, like on Weekly News, you know, they did on Always That. And I was like,
oh, yes, yes.
I really wish they would put him on more, because even though they did ask him to host a little bit, you know.
Yeah, they brought him back a few times later on.
Yeah. Yeah, but I feel like they should have like had him on as a regular, you know, for years, just because his sense of humor is very, like, it's very dry, but it's like, it's kind of like that humor like you'd see your dad, but not really. It's this like, yeah, it's a good old boys kind of humor, you know, just like, you know, just, yeah, we're just trying to have a good time, you know.
Yeah, he was one of my favorites on SNL for his 3 or 4 years on there, and it was really good 45-ish minutes or so of stand-up, and then they kind of add on, attached to it is like about a half-hour panel where with like all the Norm's closest colleagues.
Yeah.
They got Molly Shannon, David Spade, Conan O'Brien, Dave Chappelle, David Letterman, and Adam Sandler all in a room for about a half hour reflecting on Norm MacDonald's career and life and memories and stories about him. What a great way to cap it off with.
Seriously, like all his friends, man, like just talking about him. Yeah, like who he was and like what he loved to do. Like that's cool.
And it's kind of, you know, it's very bittersweet to kind of talk about what the last times Norm trying to reach out to him, kind of hanging out to him like one more time. And they're like, and then it all making sense later and just like, how they heard the news of how all of them were unaware of what he had going on.
Yeah.
And yeah, definitely a must recommend on, yeah, Norm MacDonald, Nothing Special on Netflix.
I think it's just because he wanted to, like, again, it was like a Chris Farley moment. Like, you see him one day and then it's like he's gone the next. And I think they, you know, when you're an adult, your lives are so busy and you're doing your own thing that you don't realize, like, what's going on in other people's lives. And he's like, I didn't care about that stuff. You know, I enjoyed the relationships and friendships I made. So, I mean, even if we didn't get to hang out one last time, I mean, the fact that I enjoyed your company, that's all I wanted, man. So, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, so for the other Netflix special is called Dirty Daddy, the Bob Saget tribute. And this is more of like a roast, almost, but a loving roast, like where they celebrate his memories. And they got his fellow Full House cohort, John Stamos, kind of being like the MC for the night, introducing everybody. And they kind of got a bunch of people on there, kind of just a few names you see here throughout. They got Jim Carrey, John Meyer, Chris Rock, Brian Allen, all sharing memories. A bunch of other, some people did sent in video tributes, like John Lovitz did a nice one with some nice little fun jingles he made. And Tim Allen, we were speaking of earlier, he did a video tribute too. Very cool to see. And like, how did you like the setup for this? They're in a comedy club with all the Bob Saget friends and cohorts and all that.
It's just like you said, like when Norm MacDonald did his set at home, like it wasn't a big, I mean, it was a big thing, but it wasn't like it's just going out with your friends, like hanging out with them. Like it wasn't even a big special necessarily. Like it wasn't about, like you said, it was a roast, but it wasn't like a evil hate on him kind of roast. Like it was a loving roast. Like it was just paying tribute to a friend who we love and we respect. And we really just wanted to talk about it, man. Just all the silly shenanigans he got up to. And that was great, man. I love that. Just everyone was there to just have fun.
I know for the longest time I mostly associated Bob Saget as the guy who did Full House, of course, and America's Funniest Home Videos for many years. And for people, if that's all you know him for, like they have a really great segment on there where they show a nice montage of clips set to the Full House theme song of that. That very, very, very nice tribute on that front. And a lot of good interview segments too, and just some, even the people who couldn't make their send in really good video tribute. Michael Keaton had another good video tribute, and we even have some nice music songs in there with Jackson Brown and John Stamos doing some songs. And
I wish that I was actually surprised that Dave Chappelle, but I think because he did Half Baked with him in his movie, I thought, oh, okay, that's, you know, I thought he would make an appearance too, but I think because he's dealing with his own kind of thing right now. Like, he didn't have time to, you know, be a part of this. So it's okay.
Yeah, but yeah, so yeah, that's Dirty Daddy, the Bob Saget tribute, and Norm Macdonald, Nothing Special. Both, if you're fans of both these guys' works, I think it's a great way to say farewell to them. And yeah, definitely recommended viewing on Netflix. So, also, another thing we want to recommend are our friends at Broken Century Games. They are, you can stop in and check them out. All that Broken Century Games has to offer, from card and board games to miniature wargaming, they're cleverly hidden in the Columbia Mall. They're open Monday through Saturday from noon to 8 p.m. and Sunday from noon to 6 p.m. And I know I've been in that place a couple of times. They if you know, it's not was board game. It's not just their standard Monopoly and all that. They got the deluxe, like, in-depth board game scene. I don't know. I play a lot of board games with some friends, and I know they got a cool thing you can do there too. Where if you want, like, some of these more complicated, complex board games, you know, they have a lot of setup, a lot of know-how you got to do it, man. Like, they'll even let you rent a board game for, like, a few days, just like renting a movie. So, you know, a lot of some of those higher-demand board games, they kind of go for a lot. So you got the nice try-before-you-buy method, like the old video store days. So, so yeah, and, yeah.
That's a really cool feature that they have there.
Yeah.
Yeah, being able to, rent board games, it's awesome, man. And, like, too, like, they'll even have, like, tables there set up for, like, people that are into want to, so some of those board games, they have a lot of pieces, a lot of stuff to set up. And it may not be ideal for home use if you need a lot of space to work with. So they'll even let you.
One that comes to mind is Axis and Allies.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, yeah. Axis and Allies, I could see myself playing it like a night with friends. You know, you go out, you rent the board game. But like going out and just buying it, like, how often am I actually going to use this game where I'm just going to, you know, fork over a bunch of money to purchase it?
Exactly.
But no, you could have a, you know, a game night with your friends. You could, you know, just rent the game for,
I think,
you know, for a
weekend. I think it's $10 to rent for like a few days. It could be a little different depending on the game. It's a great shop too. And then too, like, if you don't got a lot of space to work at home, they got tables there you could use to set up and play. You just set it up and set up an appointment to reserve a table. So it's a really cool deal. And we're actually doing a little promotion with them too, where got some $25 gift cards to give away for Broken Century Games. And you know, we kind of got our segment here called WTF Are You Watching? So we just want people to send in just a quick little, doesn't have to be super long, just a quick paragraph or two. Just keep it under 100 words. And just what you've been watching or recommendations. A lot of movies hitting this year. If you got a couple movies you want to recommend to us, just send us a quick couple lines. The email is local@gfbestsource.com, or if you go to the gfbestsource.com webpage, there's a contact us link, and you fill that out, and they'll send an email right to us directly. So yeah, just go there, and we're gonna let it run open here for about 2 weeks. So, and we'll just pick a random winner from that and get a $25 gift card for Broken Century Games. So yeah, local@gfbestsource.com. We want your WTF Are You Watching takes. So yeah, shout out to our friends at Broken Century Games.
$25 gift card. That's a couple of game rentals just right there.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Absolutely. So got a couple quick news items to run down here from some things I pulled from the interwebs here. I know on previous episodes we talked about the new Game of Thrones prequel series coming soon. I guess they announced another one. So I guess they announced, I don't know if anyone heard this, Jon Snow is getting his own sequel series. So, of course, they leave his character where they kind of, when Game of Thrones wrapped up, they kind of lead him where it looks like he has a whole new adventure awaiting ahead of him. That's what this series...
So they pick the most boring character in the entire show to sequel to?
I hate you, Jon Snow. You don't know nothing.
That was like the worst part of the show.
But, yeah, they got they confirmed Kit Harington is going to reprise his role as Jon Snow in the first Game of Thrones project that's going to be taking place after the events in the original series. And I guess
why wouldn't they do the hot blonde with the dragons? Like, who's the person that came up with this idea? Like, hey, we'll just pick the whiny like dude that like nobody liked watching and make it after him as opposed to the sexy blonde that has dragons.
Yeah. she may be in one of the other projects, because I guess HBO, they confirmed they got seven Game of Thrones projects that are currently in production. They're going all in.
They couldn't help themselves. They really couldn't, could they? They just couldn't help themselves. They literally, like, eighth season of that show was just... come on.
I should have been a writer for these people, because I could already tell you, I would... make blockbusters off of what they're talking about. All I would do is I would make Zombie Kid King come back. The one that everybody hated. Just make him a zombie. Have him come back. You know. Everybody hated him. It would break banks.
Yeah, I guess they got House of Dragons. House of Dragons is a prequel series that's coming in August here real soon, and then they also got like three other live action prequels in various stages of development, and I guess they also have three animated projects in the works. Too,
although I suppose he would be like 22 now.
Yeah, he'd be 22 now at this point, just because just looking at him, you would think he'd be like Bran, just like he wouldn't even give emotion to be like, yeah, I was dead, I'm all seeing. Yeah. I know what you were going to do there. You screwed up my show, and I love that.
But another news item, another show that unfortunately opposite has got announced and wouldn't be renewed for another season is the Snowpiercer series. I love the Snowpiercer movie.
Yes.
I haven't gotten around to it. I heard good things about the TV show. I guess it ran for 4 years on TNT. And, I guess they said it won't be renewed, and I guess a TNT spokesperson said, you know, its talented writers, actors, and crew took an extraordinary premise and brought it to life in thrilling ways. It was critically acclaimed and had a significant impact on the post-apocalyptic genre, and now remains in the hearts and minds of fans forever. Victor, did you ever see any of the Snowpiercer, or Paul, either you see the Snowpiercer TV show?
I saw a little bit of it. I love the movie. I must say, when they say stuff like, oh yeah, we're not going to continue this anymore, you know, we appreciate our cast and crew and everybody else. Just say you got fired. Like, all of us, we didn't have enough money. It's basically like everyone's getting fired or this is getting shut down. Like, it's not a bad thing to say that, you know. It's just like, we had a good run, it just, you know, we axed it, it's okay. Like,
I just can't stand anything with Jennifer Connelly. I think seriously, I think that she is the most monotone, like, emotionless actress ever.
She was all right in Top Gun Maverick, right?
She was terrible.
No? Oh.
I see her in a movie, I'm just like, why? Like, okay, she was cool in Labyrinth, and then after Requiem for a Dream, it's like her soul just like left her body.
Oh no.
Because she is like the most boring person to watch in any show.
Paul is not a fan.
I love him though, just because he's like Stewie when he's confronting Colin Farrell, and he's just like, you are just awful. Yeah, you are just god awful. Like, I want you to know this. I want to say this to your face. Like, I don't hate you, but you are just god boring.
She looks
awful.
Like the most fake person you would ever meet in your life. Like, if she were to walk in the studio, I'd be like, oh, you're Jennifer Connelly. And she'd be like, yeah, nice to meet you. I'd be like, bullshit.
What does she look like?
You're just god awful. I don't like you. Are you fake as just, you are so awful.
She's like a zombie. I can't stand Jennifer Connelly anymore.
I just want him to say, yeah, that's her. Yeah, that's her right there. I just want him to say, oh, look, it's me.
I had a huge crush on her when she was like in Labyrinth and stuff. Like, I just had a huge crush on her. I thought that she was like super, super attractive. And then the more and more I watch her in these newer movies,
it's just
oh my God, it's like pulling teeth watching her try to act.
I guess I've only seen her in a few of her roles, so I guess I don't have that big overall view. What about you, Victor? How do you stand on Connelly?
I like her. I feel like they don't give her enough to work with. Like, you know those actors who are they're good at their jobs. But again, it's just, like Paul said, I wish I could be a writer for the people who make movies or a television show. Just because it's like, you guys, come on. Give her something to work with. She's an Academy Award winner. Like, she earned this Oscar. Apparently you guys don't know for what reason. You guys give her stale dialogue, and then you wonder why they yell at you. All these actors yell at you people because, again, you don't give them anything to work with. There's brick wall. It's like they're acting against a brick wall. You're giving them nothing to work with. You're just giving them a standout or cutout to work with. It's just like, what am I doing here?
Connelly needs to pick her projects better.
Yeah, it's just like, what am I doing here? Like, what's my motivation?
They could literally just like put Jennifer Connelly in every movie as just like one of those cardboard cutouts.
Yeah,
with the old
voice box.
No, the little mouth thing that they have, like, from Conan O'Brien.
Yeah,
yes, I'm Jennifer Connelly. I'm here to act.
And that
could be her character.
Look, it's me, the puppet from the Dark Crystal. Yeah. Oh no, Jennifer Connelly.
All right, one last news item to hit here. Victor, this is one you brought up here too. That said, news earlier this month on a new Ninja Turtles CG movie from Nickelodeon with Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg being in the works behind the scenes behind it.
Yeah.
And, Seth Rogen had an interesting tweet kind of announcing the movie with the themes around it and with a tentative release date of August of next year.
Yes, I'm super excited. I know that Evan Goldberg and Seth Rogen have always done great teenager like movies, and they did very beautifully with, like, you know, Superbad, and of course, you know, everything of the Judd Apatow crew. So I mean, I'd have no problem with this one. I know my friend wasn't excited for this, but I was like, you know what? I know he's been getting a lot of heat, but you know, when I heard Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I'm like, I think we can say we're on the same page. Come on. I know it's not going to be like a stoner, like, you know, hey, you know, Donatello, are you hitting this? You know, like, I know it's not going to be like that. But I think they want to go back to the teenage, you know, aspect of it. Like, they're teenagers, you know, and they kick butt and eat pizza, you know, just like.
They did that CG movie around, what, 2006, 2007? I thought that was pretty solid.
Yeah, the 2007 one was really good. And, even though that company is no longer in production at all anymore, still, it was a good one. And it was, you know, just it talked about the brothers and their relationship and how, you know, Raphael kind of was so angry at Leonardo because he left. And then when he came back, it's like, you want us to fall in line again like your little soldiers, you know. But this is, you know, with the live action ones and even like the Michael Bay ones, I felt like this one I hope is going to just touch on them. Like, it's going to go back to where they all came together as a group. Like, they were brothers, and that brother dynamic is not, you know, dead.
Yeah. And like you said, in the movies you said they worked on before, I'm a fan of I really love Superbad and some of the other movies too. So hopefully they can deliver us a really good Turtles movie.
I know they next will. Year. Yeah, so. I know they're going to.
So we're going to run down some of the noteworthy streaming and theatrical releases hitting this week here. Just got a few to go over this week, I guess. I had no idea about this, but I guess it's just launched on HBO Max. There's an all-new remake for Father of the Bride, directed by Gaz Alazraki and Andy Garcia. He plays a Cuban-American father who, along with his wife, played by Gloria Estefan, they're writing for their daughter's wedding. I had no idea this was even in the works. I remember seeing the original Father of the Bride, but
my wife might. But
I figure that may be a more mainstream appeal, so I thought that's why I bring that one up. And then we kind of already went over Spider-Head that launched this past week on Netflix.
Of course.
The big two theatrical releases this week. The big one, Elvis, the kind of like the whole life story of Elvis covering 20 years of his career and really focuses on his complicated relationship with his enigmatic manager, Colonel Tom Parker. So starring Tom Hanks, Austin Butler, Olivia de Jong, directed by Baz Luhrmann, and also responsible for Moulin Rouge and Romeo and Juliet's couple of big movies before.
Yeah. I'm not a huge, like thinking that this is going to be a fantastic movie, but the guy who plays Elvis, I've liked everything that he's been, like, that he's kind of acted in. I think he's one of those really underrated actors.
Yeah.
You know, he was the one that was in Battleship. Yeah. And,
Battleship was surprisingly good.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Is that, who is that guy? Is
Austin Butler?
When he played the Waco, the Waco, sure. Texas shooting thing, where he played that guy, like, the guy, he's got a really good range.
Oh, hell yeah.
Katie approves.
Like,
I know who he is.
Yeah.
Katie approves. But yeah, big fan of that guy. So
I'm wondering if he's going to be like the next Daniel Day-Lewis, you know? I think Daniel Day-Lewis is probably one of the best actors that's come out.
He's one of my favorites. Yeah, he's one of my favorites.
Fantastic. And this guy, everything that he's done a really good job as being an actor. He's never the same, and I think he's going to do a really good job as Elvis.
Yeah, it's obviously a really demanding role, but it sounds like they got the guy to line up for it. I just seen the previews. I mean, he's got the look down.
Yeah,
so.
He really, like, and you can tell, like, when an actor, like as Paul said, he's an actor's actor. Like, he really wants to commit. Like, he doesn't want to do the same thing over again. He doesn't want to repeat himself. He wants to do different, and he showed the world that he could be
like
different.
Denzel Washington is always Denzel Washington. He's never not Denzel Washington.
Exactly.
He's just Denzel Washington in a different role.
Right.
Where this guy plays different roles and you never actually know what his name is.
he's above his performance. He could just mold into whatever role
exactly
is asked of him. It sounds like,
yeah, yeah. Like Daniel Day-Lewis. I think Daniel Day-Lewis would approve. Yeah, if he was still in the business,
you would never in your life imagine Daniel Day-Lewis was in Last of the Mohicans and was also in There Will Be Blood.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You could never tell that those two are the same person. No,
he just commits, man, and that's why people are like, dude, you're scary. Like, yeah, but he commits. That's a great thing.
And then one last other movie that's hitting theaters this Friday is Black Phone. And that's where it's like kind of a creepy thriller where a boy is abducted by a sadistic killer and trapped in a soundproof basement where screaming is of little use. A disconnected phone on the wall starts to ring, and the boy discovers that he can hear voices of the killer's previous victim. So that's kind of a very intriguing plot, and stars Ethan Hawke and Mason Thames, and it's directed by Scott Derrickson, who also did the original Doctor Strange and Deliverus from Evil. So it sounds like it's got the credentials to be a big hit.
Yes, I'm excited for it. I love Ethan Hawke, man. I really hope he keeps going.
Yeah, I really like. Yeah,
except he sucked in Northman.
No, I did not like. Paul disapproves. Yes,
horrible.
He's the worst.
Horrible choice. Horrible choice. Love you as an actor, but horrible choice.
But all right, let's wind things down here with our quick takes for the week here. Katie, we haven't heard from you in a bit. What do you got for quick takes for the week?
My YouTubers, they are on their way to 2 million subscribers.
Yay!
Which is cool. They finished the new dirt track. They bought new acres or a bunch of acres. Is that what it's called? Land.
Yeah, acres.
Yes,
acres. I don't. They got like
acres.
They got their dirt track done. And then actually 2 nights ago, I watched the Titanic.
Oh,
girls' night at my house.
Oh,
with my dad's girlfriend in the
you know that's
water.
Why I don't drink water. You want me to drink the same thing that Jack died from?
You had enough room on that door.
What?
What's his name? It was Jack, right? For my Titanic?
Leonardo.
You had enough room on that
door. You want me to drink the same thing that killed him?
Well, he drank salt
it's
water.
Water. Yeah. It's water. What's the deal?
I wish.
Where did this come?
You know,
there was plenty of room on that board for him. That selfish chick.
Oh, we're talking about the door.
I'm not gonna let you go, Jack.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Don't let go. Don't let me on the board. There's like room for three here.
Oh my god!
You selfish jerk.
How dare
you let me die in this freezing cold water?
Okay, literally after I watched the video, weird coincidence. I went on my YouTube channel and it came up first thing recommended. The Mythbusters did a test on that. And Jack could have been on it. I watched the video.
They're listening. They're listening in to you, Katie.
Shout out to Mythbusters. Thank you for making that video. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
I'm still waiting for the part when the boat doesn't sink.
Oh, that's so.
No,
it's all
right. That's a director's cut. That's coming next year. Director's cut version.
Do you know the name of the boat in Titanic?
No, I don't know.
No,
you don't know the name of the boat in the movie Titanic?
This is a joke. I'm only 21. Okay.
Okay, literally, you don't know the name of the boat in
Titanic. I told you, I had to remember. RMS Titanic.
What? Oh, I love it. I love it.
I don't know, but there's some joke to this.
The name of the boat is the Titanic.
Titanic.
And?
I just love
it.
Paul, what's your quick takes for the week?
I think I'm good. I think Katie just nailed it for me.
You just made my day.
Victor, quick takes for the week.
I'm sorry.
And I watched Greece. Sorry.
What's that?
I watched Titanic in Greece.
In Greece? Oh, original Greece. There you go.
Thank you for letting me finish. I'm gonna mute his mic.
I'm so sorry.
How does Greece hold up all these years
I'm
later?
So
still great songs.
Okay, Victor, let's go. Yep.
Yeah, great. What's your favorite song? Greece karaoke, right?
Of course it's called Titanic. Duh.
I'm so sorry.
I don't get it. Okay,
I'm so
anything else,
sorry.
Katie?
No, I'm just trying to get the joke here because I don't get it. Of course I don't.
Well, I asked you what the name of the boat was that sunk in Titanic.
Titanic, yeah. It's called the Titanic.
Yeah, the Titanic, yeah.
And?
You like second guess that right off the bat. You're like...
Well, yeah, because there's always a joke with you.
King of the world.
Oh, that was a joke. To make me just like sit and think.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm just so sorry.
Victor. Yeah. We'll move this Titanic along here.
Victor's dying over here. I don't think he's gonna make it.
All right. Victor, while you gather yourself, I'll mention my two quick things for me here. Just keep it real short and sweet. Orville and Strange New Worlds, catching up on the latest. Orville has some nice callbacks to this first season episode. They go on a bunch of illusion tests, and the way it ties back to the first season episode is really good. Way too much detail to go into.
Sorry.
And then Strange New Worlds was great. Continues to be really good at episodic Star Trek. So I'll keep it short and simple at that.
Yes.
Yeah, Victor, and I'm waiting for The Boys on Friday. That's my other quick take.
I have two.
Okay, yeah, Boys on Friday. Yes.
Victor,
you mentioned to me one other item you wanted to talk about here. Something about, I had no idea. I was trying to look up news stories to follow up on this, to look up about it. About apparently, you got a little editorial, little feature here for Anne Hathaway. There's some controversy going on with her. So what's going on about Anne Hathaway?
I'm so sorry. Yes, Anne Hathaway. What is that about? Like, she's such a good actress, and she just gets dumped on for being so great, and it's like,
she's no Jennifer Connelly.
Like, hey, it's me, the puppet with the dark crystal.
Kind of going up an octave a little bit.
I'm sorry. You guys make my day. I love you guys. I love you so much. You guys are so great. No, but just Anne Hathaway, just like, they just like talk about her as if she's like the third person in the room, you know? And she just like, she just is so great. Like, Anne Hathaway, man, like, she's such a great actress. And it's like, after that Oscar with her and like hosting gig with James Franco, it's just like, what is, like, why? Like, she was trying, like, and you're gonna blame her for trying, like, why?
But was she just getting a lot of bad rap in recent critic circles months or so?
It's just so weird, man, because it's like, you know, you know those great actresses or just great actors in general, like, they're so good at their job and they know what to do, and then it's just like, they get hate for being so good. It's like, look at her, she's a theater kid. Okay, she's a theater kid. What's the problem? I just don't like her. She tries too hard. So you don't want her to do her job? No, I get a bad vibe off her. Like, you know those people in the room, it's just like, I don't like her. I think she just like doesn't have the feel. What is the feel? What does that mean? Like,
so apparently she's getting a bad break from some circles. So
like they tell these, like, I don't understand about like Hollywood gossip. They tell these stories about people like, oh, Matthew McConaughey, he got high in his house, or oh, like Tim Allen, he's smuggled cocaine near Kalamazoo Airlines. Like, oh, and again, we're never going to talk about this ever again. Like, it happened and it's done. What? You don't just put something like that out there and then expect people not to talk about it. Like, Anne Hathaway, horrible person. I don't think she's a horrible... I think she's a nice person.
So moral of the story is, Anne Hathaway, give her a break.
Yes, again, give her a break, pretty much. Just give her a break.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Just, like, you guys make my day.
Awesome. Quick takes for the week, Victor?
Just The Boys. Like, The Boys is, like, kicking off. And, Paul, I'm excited to see fighting going on and everything. So
that's Friday's the new episodes drop?
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited, dude. I want Billy the Butcher and, you know, Mr. Pretty Boy to meet. So it's just like, yeah, let's get...
No, I'm waiting for... Who's the Captain America guy?
Oh, yeah. What was it? Homelander. Yeah.
No. Homelander is going to be meeting... The original Captain America guy.
Oh, Soldier Boy.
Yeah. Soldier Boy. Yeah. I'm excited to see Soldier Boy and Homelander meet. I think that's going to be epic.
I'm waiting for that one, too. Yeah, and Jason Eccles, dude. Like, oh, my gosh. That guy's such a badass. He's so cool. He played...
Well, because Homelander is, like, supposed to be, like, the superior, like, superhero of all of them. But apparently, this Soldier Boy is probably... just as strong, if not stronger, than Homelander.
Yeah.
So to see Homelander, like, meet his match, I think that's going to be pretty damn cool.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm more patriotic than you. That's going to be a badass fight. So I can't wait for that one.
All right. Yep. Anyone got anything else here before we call it our show? All right. No, well, with that, we want to thank everyone for tuning in to today's episode of Big Screens and TV Streams. We want to thank our sponsors at Oh for Heaven's Cake, Southtown Poorhouse, and Broken Century Games. Contest reminder, speaking of Broken Century Games, over the next 2 weeks, make sure to shoot us an email, local@gfbestsource.com, or go to our website, gfbestsource.com, click the Contact Us link, and fill out the form that just says just some of your recommended quick takes or just a quick thought or two about a movie or show you've seen lately. And we'll be running that for the next 2 weeks to win a $25 gift card from our friends at Broken Century Games. So we welcome you to join us live for all future episodes every Wednesday at 2 p.m. on gfbestsource.com, or you can find past episodes by subscribing to Grand Forks Best Source everywhere you find podcasts. So, many thanks to Paul.
Hashtag no filter.
No filter, yes. Yes, very yeah. true. Many thanks to Victor.
Thank you again, guys. I love you.
many thanks to producer wizard Katie.
Titanic.
Yes. Titanic with a no.
Yes.
Yeah.
And many thanks to all of you for tuning in and having us as part of your day. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.